I'm Jeb Sharp. This is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. China's ruling Communist Party wants to build a more innovative economy, but it's used to governing through decrees and five-year plans, and that's a hard habit to break. The party has spent billions in the past decade on research labs, but it's given scientists strict deadlines to come up with new ideas. The results have been mixed at best. China does innovate, but rarely in a way that's compelling enough for the rest of the world to sit up and take notice. The World's Mary Kay Magstad has the second part of our series, Created in China.
One of the success stories of China's push for greater innovation is a company called Capital Bio. Framed patents line the walls of the company's reception hall. A glass display case shows off its biochip products for use in medical care.
There's a sperm viability assessment chip, electromagnetic cell chip, cell network electrophysiological monitoring chip, lab on a chip.
It's using these advanced tools for manipulating cells.
Keith Mitchelson is Capital Bio's vice president for marketing and the company's sole non-Chinese employee. He says Capital Bio is working on a technology that would allow doctors to use these biochips in their clinics to convenes with long waiting times for results. Capital Bio is located in the government-built Zhongguansun Science Park. Z-Park, as it's known, is in the same leafy corner of Beijing where some of China's top universities are based. In fact, Capital Bio is a private company spinoff from one of them, Tsinghua University. Xiaoyang Qi is a Beijing municipal government official and the deputy director of this science park. He says the kind of innovation you see at Capital Bio is what the government had in mind when it created the Zhongguansun Science Park.
Zhongguansun 成为中国高科技企业的一个孵化器和聚集地。
Z-Park is the high-tech concentration area and also serves as an incubator of high-tech businesses.
Xia hopes that China's version of Bill Gates comes out of this park. He says many companies, Chinese and foreign, have opened research and development centers here, and total production value has increased 15-fold to $150 billion during the past decade. There's no denying that China has made sizzling economic progress in recent years. Most Chinese now have mobile phones, and that includes farmers, even some living in caves. More Chinese are now online than Americans. And when new technologies come up elsewhere, Chinese are quick to copy them or tweak them for the home market and get them out to the masses. It happens so quickly that some Chinese can get confused about who created the technology in the first place. Here's what Chinese Academy of Sciences official Liu Yonglong said when I asked him what major inventions have come out of China in the past couple of decades.
DVD. The first generation of DVD was developed in China. CDMA, yeah. Flash disk?
Actually, the DVD was invented by a consortium of Japanese, European, and U.S. companies. An Israeli developed the flash disk. But the Chinese did embrace both technologies early and enthusiastically. And Chinese innovators have found ways to improve many such technologies for the Chinese market. That's reflected in the fact that China had more than 800,000 patent applications last year and granted almost 200,000 patents. The problem is that very few of those patents were for breakthrough technologies. Yin Xintian heads the Legal Affairs Department of the Chinese Patent Office.
In American history, Edison invented the light bulb, and it changed how people live, and also Morse telegram. Nowadays, it's not easy to find such kind of Chinese inventions. In China, it's more about specific techniques and improving the current technique. It's also important to scientific development and to explore a completely new field. I can't recall any of that.
Yin says modern Chinese innovation has come a long way since he started working in the patent office 30 years ago as a young engineer. He believes more important inventions will come as more Chinese get up to speed with international knowledge and international standards. He says it helps that the government is committed at the highest levels to making this happen. Premier Wen Jiabao said as much just this month when he spoke at the World Economic Forum in the northern Chinese city of Dalian.
We should see scientific and technological innovation as a powerful engine of economic growth and rely on it more to make economic progress. We will transform China into an innovative nation.
China has made innovation a priority for a simple reason. It provides more sustainable growth than just manufacturing innovations from other countries. Duncan Clark is chairman of BDA, a high-tech investment advisory firm in Beijing. He points out that iPods are made in China, but China doesn't make much money from them.
For example, on a $200 sale of an iPod, perhaps $5 of value is left for China. Most of the value goes to Apple for the brand, for the distribution. Some of it goes to the component suppliers, who mostly are Japanese, in the case of iPod. So China rightly, I think, has been saying, we don't want to just be the manufacturing workshop where pollution is left behind and labor unrest when the economy of the U.S. turns down. So China is struggling to move up the value chain, and they're absolutely right to be focusing on greater value.
But Clark thinks they're less right in how they go about it. The government throws lots of money at science parks and infrastructure. Researchers are ordered to innovate on deadline and file patent applications and journal articles if they want to keep getting funding. That leads to quantity, but not necessarily quality. The pressure has led some researchers to plagiarize, fabricate data, and generally cut corners. Another problem is that government-run research labs have a hard time staying current with what consumers want. On top of that, some of the government-led effort is infused with a nationalistic Chinese innovation for China approach. Clark says that's self-defeating. He cites as an example the Chinese government's costly effort to come up with a new high-speed mobile broadband standard.
China, about 10 years ago, was frustrated with the dominance of companies like Ericsson and Alcatel and Motorola in the Chinese market and thought that we can never compete head-on in Western technology. We need to create our own indigenous standard. And by effectively walling off the Chinese market, we would be able to create a big enough market for a national champion or champions to emerge. And then they could export based on the size of the Chinese market. This was the plan.
The reality, Clark says, is that the plan has failed miserably, because nobody outside of China has made phones that use the Chinese standard. Liu Jiren is the chairman and CEO of China's largest software development and IT company, Newsoft. He told an audience at the World Economic Forum in Dalian that it's time for China to change its approach.
That is the most important today, is we need to change original innovation way, especially for Chinese company. We always want to try to create something by ourselves. I don't think you have enough resources, you have enough time, you have enough talent. If you can integrate with global resources, you can share IPR with others, you also can share success, share risk with others.
Entrepreneurs like Liu say there's a better way forward than just pouring money into infrastructure and staking national prestige on whether China comes up with its own exclusive standard. They say the government should focus on improving the climate for innovation, ramp up intellectual property protection so the inventors reap the rewards from what they create rather than the pirates, improve how the stock market functions so startups can get the cash they need, and put more effort into understanding the needs and the strengths of the private sector. A gap in that understanding became apparent when a Chinese journalist asked China's Minister of Science and Technology, Wang Gong, a question at the World Economic Forum. She said, small private companies don't have as much capacity for innovation as big companies, so what are you doing to help them? Well, he said, we're encouraging them to work with universities, and we're encouraging the universities to receive them with open arms. He said, we pay special attention to the smaller private enterprises because their capacity for innovation is lower. That prompted this response from James Turley, the chairman and CEO of Ernst & Young.
My experience around the world is not consistent with the premise of the question.
Turley said, from what he's seen, it's the small private businesses that innovate more than the big bureaucratic ones.
I think the magic of progress is when we can, in a collaborative style, bring together the innovation and the vision that comes from nimble entrepreneurs with the power and the education in both the academic community and the state sector.
Minister Wang nodded politely, but he didn't look convinced. After all, when China's one-party state decides it's going to do something, things generally happen. like now, when the government is throwing its effort into building renewable energy as a leading industry. China's Communist Party has come a long way since its hardline Maoist past, but some habits die hard, like a lack of faith in the private sector and a preference to let the state sector lead. For China to become the innovative nation its leaders want it to be, it will have to do more than build infrastructure and graduate engineers. China will have to rethink old assumptions and find new ways to fertilize the roots of innovation. For The World, I'm Mary Kay Magstead in Beijing.
Tomorrow, Mary Kay examines the ways China's educational system thwarts innovation. One former student says one teacher's instructions to prep for an exam are typical.
If you ever encounter a test question on this topic, this is how you should answer it. And if you run out of things to say, then you could always just praise the Communist Party.
That's part 3 of Created in China, tomorrow on The World.